Auch hier beim Essen, da war ein Kritiker eingeladen, der hat durchblicken lassen, dass er ihn, nachdem er ein Theaterstück gesehen hat, wo Kinski sehr kurz auftauchte, dass er schreiben würde, er wäre hervorragend und außergewöhnlich gewesen. Und Kinski warf ihm sofort 2 heiße Kartoffeln und das Besteck ins Gesicht. Aber in blitzartiger Bewegung war das und sprang auf und schrie, ich war nicht ausgezeichnet, ich war nicht hervorragend. Ich war monumental. Ich war epochal.
Der deutsche Regisseur Werner Herzog in seiner Dokumentation Mein liebster Feind über den heute vor 30 Jahren verstorbenen Schauspieler Klaus Kinski. In über 150 Filmen hat Kinski mitgewirkt. Lange Zeit war er auf den Typ des dämonischen Bösewichts festgelegt, für den sich Kinski schon rein äußerlich bestens eignete. Klaus Kinski war aber ein internationaler Star und hatte auch viele Verehrer und Fans in Australien. Der australische Schauspieler CJ Johnson zum Beispiel, auch bekannt als Filmkritiker in der Sendung Nightlife im ABC Radio, brachte 2014 das Theaterstück Kinski and I auf die Bühne, in der er in die Rolle des Klaus Kinskis schlüpfte. Ich wollte von CJ Johnson wissen, was ihn damals dazu bewog, diesen mehr oder weniger wahnsinnigen Charakter zu porträtieren.
I guess at some point in the course of my life I became a little bit obsessed with Klaus Kinski. I guess I discovered Klaus Kinski the way many people do through one of his films, and I think the first film I saw of his that made a big impression on me, or probably the first film of his I saw, was A Greer, A Wrath of God by Werner Herzog. And that film astonished me, as it astonishes a lot of people, but also his performance just blew my mind because, well, for all the reasons, Klaus Kinski is Klaus Kinski, the actor. He gives a performance like no one else. He is a totally, or was a totally unique performer. And his performance in that film, like in many other films, but especially the films of Werner Herzog, just touches on a kind of represented madness that, or sociopathy that no one else can capture. And I think, you know, years later, doing lots of research on him and ultimately writing a show about him, I think that's probably because Klaus Kinski himself was deeply, deeply, deeply disturbed. And so when you see him playing disturbed characters on screen, you're actually seeing the real thing. You're actually seeing an actor who was able to make it to set and to stand there and say his lines. He was able to function, but he was also deeply, deeply mentally imbalanced. And so you're seeing the real deal of mentally imbalanced characters, mad characters played by a madman, a legitimate madman. So I was into him as an actor, and this idea that he could play dangerously mad people, unhinged people, mentally ill people better than anyone else in the world because of his own condition. But I was also always really into autobiographies of actors. And one day I found the autobiography Kinski Uncut, which is Klaus Kinski's autobiography. And I never read anything like it, because whereas other actors wrote about their performances or directors they worked with or conditions on the set or this, that, and the other, Klaus Kinski's autobiography was almost entirely devoted to his sex life. And this fascinated me. I was like, oh my gosh, an actor's written an autobiography that's actually the autobiography of his sex life. And it was that idea that I thought, oh, this would make a great show one day, a great one-man show. And then I discovered that there was an even better version of Klaus Kinski's autobiography that was out of print called All I Need Is Love. And I managed to track down a copy of that overseas and have that sent to me. And from the two of those, I constructed a one-man show in 2014 called Kinski and I, which draws as its basic text from his writings, but is also my interaction with his writings and with him as a figure. And in writing the show, I discovered something a lot more problematic about him. And that relates to a book that was written in 2012 by his daughter, Pola. And I started interpolating elements of her book as well. Her book, which is only available in German, called Kindermund. I had to have it translated. And once I had it translated, I interpolated pieces of that. And I started to discover the story of not just someone who is mentally unbalanced, but a monster, a true monster. And it was my reckoning with someone who I think might just be the greatest screen actor of all time, and reckoning with him in relation to the fact that he was also potentially the abuser of his own daughter.
Klaus Kinskis Autobiografie All I Need Is Love ist original 1975 unter dem deutschen Titel Ich bin so wild nach deinem Erdbeermund erschienen. Kinski Uncut ist eine im Jahr 1996 überarbeitete Auflage des ersten Buches. Das dritte Buch, das C.J. Johnson erwähnte, Kindermund, stammt von Pola, Kinskis erstes Kind. In ihrer Biografie schreibt sie gegen den Mythos Kinski an und versucht, ihn zu demaskieren. Wie Kritiken bescheinigen, gelang ihr das und vom wahnsinnigen Genie bleibt nur der Wahnsinn übrig. C.J. Johnson studierte diese Bücher eingehend, um Klaus Kinski in all seinen Facetten zu verstehen. Ist es ihm gelungen?
Well, to the degree, I suppose, that, I mean, he's very honest with his writing. That's the whole thing. He really rips himself open and talks about all his predilections and the fact that he was clearly a sexual addict, a sex addict. And he basically acknowledges that. And so it is one of the most, his book is one of the most honest depictions of having that addiction probably ever written. So that is very revealing. And you do learn a lot about him, but, you know, not having that addiction myself, I could only go so far to understanding it. But then he also kept a lot hidden. There was a lot of the story he didn't tell, which is the story that is then told by his daughter in 2012, well after he's died. So having those two points of view, I did really get to come as close as I'm sure anyone really could. I mean, I dare say I did as much research into him as anyone ever has, but then there is that level to which you cannot go past, which is the level of some kind of a mental illness, I suppose. You know, whatever Kinski had going on in his brain will only ever be his. There's only so close you can get to it.
Klaus Kinski war auch gefürchtet wegen seines Ärgers, den er in privaten Ausschweifungen und Exzessen entlud. Zertrümmerte Luxusrestaurants, verprügelte Polizisten, unzählige sexuelle Affären und mehrere gescheiterte Ehen erzählen von dem Weg eines kompromisslosen Egomanen. Bürgerliche Konventionen hatten in seinem Leben keinen Platz.
Well, the best account of Kinski's anger issues come from Werner Herzog. Werner Herzog made an entire documentary about his relationship with Klaus Kinski, a feature-length documentary called My Best Fiend. And in that, right early in that, he recounts an episode when he knew Kinski as a younger man, and Kinski, in a fit of rage, destroyed an enamel sink in his apartment with his bare hands, just crushed it to dust in so much rage. I mean, his anger issues were unparalleled.
Er war einfach die ultimative Pest. Leute wie Marlon Brando waren Musterschüler im Vergleich zu ihm. So beschrieb der Regisseur Werner Herzog Kinski in seiner Dokumentation Mein liebster Feind. Aber er sei auch die ultimative Freude in der Zusammenarbeit gewesen.
Am Schluss der Dreharbeiten, gegen Schluss, boten mir die Indianer an, dass sie den Kinski ermorden würden für mich. Sie sagten, sollen wir ihn töten für dich? Und ich sagte, nein, um Gottes Willen, ich brauche ihn ja noch zum Drehen. Lasst ihn mir. Und ich lehnte das damals ab, aber die waren ganz ernst. Sie hätten ihn tatsächlich ermordet, wenn ich das gewollt hätte.
There's a lot of clips you can see on YouTube of Kinski in rages, because he used to do these really long stand-up performances where he would recite poetry. And during these, he would inevitably get annoyed with some member of the audience and lose it and become enraged. And this stuff was, there's some of this is available on film that was filmed. And you can Google it, Google Kinski one-man show anger, and you'll get a piece of it. And so I watched a lot of this stuff, an awful lot of this stuff.
Ein klassisches Beispiel ist Kinskis Streit mit dem Produzenten bei Dreharbeiten für den Film Fitzcarraldo.
Schrei ich oder schrei ich nicht? Und du sagst es mir nicht, aber schrei aber nicht. Leg mich doch am Arsch weg. Der Moment ist überhaupt gekommen, wo ich dir in die Fresse haue.
Was?
Diesmal schlage ich dir in die Fresse, darauf kannst du dich verlassen, du. Diesmal sitze ich in dem Kostüm in deiner scheiß Karre in Holland.
Mach zu, mach zu. Trau dir nur.
Diesmal schlage ich dich zusammen,
du. Trau dir nur.
Wenn du zu frech wirst. Wir brauchen einen Fotografen. Verstehst du? Na, mach doch deinen Scheiß!
Friss, von jetzt kriegst du überhaupt nichts mehr zu... Ja, Kuh muss ja nicht fressen. Muss es ja nicht fressen. Friss, was du willst.
Ist ja schlimmer wie ein Zuchthauswärter, du Arschloch. Du willst mir bestimmt mal nichts zu fressen kriegen? Das werden wir erleben. Das
nichts
das.
Oh, du nicht.
Sein Geisteskranker. Glücklich, sein Geisteskranker. Komm, schaff den weg hier, dieser Scheiße hier.
SBS On Demand zeigt derzeit vier seiner Filme, die er mit dem Regisseur Werner Herzog gedreht hat. Fitzcarraldo, Agir, der Zorn Gottes, Cobra Verde und Wojciech. Die Filme stammen aus der Zeit zwischen 1972 und 1987. Eigentlich schon Klassiker, aber sind sie auch sehenswert?
Oh yes, oh yes. Cobra Verde, not so much. But Aguirre, Wrath of God is fantastic. Fitzcarraldo is probably the best of all of them on a sort of more classic sense. Like Fitzcarraldo is probably the best for a wide variety of people. Aguirre, the Wrath of God is probably the most bold and original, but is a little bit more of an acquired taste. And then Wojciech is a very, very faithful adaptation of the book to play. And he is brilliant in that. And then... Nosferatu, the vampire, is phenomenal. I mean, it might be the best ever telling of the vampire story. And his performance in that is out of this world. And just the imagery of him as that vampire is quite incredible. So yes, those four movies all completely stand up today. They are all totally, not only are they watchable, they're all brilliant.
Der Film Nosferatu ist derzeit auf SBS On Demand nicht erhältlich. Hingegen aber die vier anderen Filme, Fitzcarraldo, Agir, der Zorn Gottes, Cobra Verde und Wojciech. In allen vier Filmen verkörpert Klaus Kinski einen Wahnsinnigen. Hat seine Verkörperung des Wahnsinns ihn zu einem internationalen Star gemacht? Oder wo in der Hierarchie großartiger Schauspieler lässt sich Kinski einordnen?
Right up there at the very top. I mean, he might just be the greatest screen actor to have ever lived. And I don't say that flippantly. He doesn't necessarily have the greatest range. So if I'm looking at people like Meryl Streep and Daniel Day-Lewis and Klaus Kinski, perhaps Meryl Streep and Daniel Day-Lewis are able to portray a wider range of characters. But what Klaus Kinski did well, he probably did better than anyone ever has in the history of cinema. Like, I don't think Daniel Day-Lewis could portray that fine line tipping over into dangerous madness in the way that Klaus could. You know, I don't think anyone else could have played his four great roles for Herzog better than he could. And so in that sense, what he did well, he did better than anyone ever has. And besides that, his charisma, his screen presence, and his sheer ability, his technical ability, because he was technically a brilliant actor, and he really did his research, and he really lived the parts and went full method. I mean, for when he was playing this part in this Shakespeare production early on in Berlin, Claudio in Measure for Measure, who spends a few days in a jail cell to say this particular monologue, he went and slept in a crypt for three or four nights. I mean, he went to, you know, he really did the whole hog. So with all of those factors, he has to be one of the greatest actors ever to have have lived and certainly one of the greatest screen actors. There's no doubt.
C.J. Johnson, ein ausgesprochener Kinski-Fan und Filmkritiker in der Sendung Nightlife im ABC Radio. C.J. Johnson brachte auch 2014 in Sydney das Theaterstück Kinski and I auf die Bühne. Der deutsche Schauspieler Klaus Kinski, der sich zeitlebens auf dem schmalen Grat zwischen Genie und Wahnsinn, Sensibilität und unberechenbarer Gewalt bewegte. Er starb heute vor 30 Jahren am 23. November 1991 im amerikanischen Kalifornien. Zu seinem 20-jährigen Todestag wurde der Schauspieler mit einem eigenen Duft gewürdigt, dem Parfüm Kinski. Der Hersteller beschreibt das Produkt als ambivalent. Eben genau so, wie Kinski auch auf die Menschen wirkte. Er vereint eine Sanftmütigkeit sondergleichen, die sich blitzschnell, beißend an unser Geruchsorgan wendet. Es ist damit ein exzentrischer Duft für Liebhaber des Ungewöhnlichen und Außergewöhnlichen.
Ich habe mich gar nicht aufgeregt. Ich rede eigentlich hier nur, damit ihr nur endlich begreift, mich in Ruhe zu lassen.